Pasha Shiva Rav Horowitz, Pasha Seth Khanan, what is tefillin?
Boker Tov, good morning. We find in this week's Pasha the Ten Commandments, Aseret HaDibrot, as they were inscribed on the second Luchot. And after a short passage in the Chumash, it then says, Shema Yisroel. The name Israel is not mentioned in the Aseret HaDibrot. But here Moshe was speaking to the people of Israel just before they went to conquer the land of Israel. In other words, Hashem, who is the absolute goodness and morality and is free, has given freedom to the human being to be like him, to try to be as good as possible, although the human beings are given freedom of choice to be tzaddikim or rasha'im, to be saints or sinners. But Moshe was hoping that this generation of the people of Israel, whose parents came out from Egypt and heard the Torah at Sinai, but their souls also participated in Na'aseh V'Nishma, will fulfill all the mitzvot, and then will try to understand them and learn them, and he was hoping that now people of Israel would follow. There's a Shema Yisroel. Listen to what you've heard. And he sums up the first two commandments, which could still be heard at Sinai by all the people, but they couldn't see further because it would bring them to their death. It was so high, so powerful. So the rest had to be given via Moshe Rabbeinu. And now he says, Shema Yisroel, you know, people, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, which contains the first two commandments, but with a further aspect that Hashem would like all mankind to serve him and fulfill the universal code which is revealed to Noah, the seven Noahide commandments which were intended for all mankind, but they were not up to that level that awaits 10 generations till Avraham Avinu was on such a high level of loving kindness and closeness to Hashem that he was shown the land already in his day. He was told that he would become father of all the nations of the world, but his descendants would become like the Bechor, the firstborn. And therefore, what's the firstborn's duty? From ancient times has been the duty of the firstborn to represent the parents from the received traditions of how to live and how to serve God, or even, unfortunately, the gods by the non-Jews. But that was the idea of the firstborn, that although Hashem loves all mankind equally, they're all his children, but he's going to have a a particular nation that would follow not just individuals, but as a nation which represents a message from God for all mankind, as we express in so many of our prayers. Visualino, we have to thank Hashem He's made us different to the nations. This will lead to remove wickedness from the face of the earth and have righteousness and tikkun olam, to put the world right instead of wrong. And this is the task of our nation, Hashem Elokeinu. That's Rashi's explanation. Hashem, who is our God, Yehechad, that He, Hashem Echad, but Hashem, the quality of the loving kindness of Hashem, is extended to mankind. That's how Rashi explains it. So this is expressed in the Parsha of Shema. So what does it say in Shema? It also mentions the tefillin. Just say briefly, Shema Yisrael Hashem Hashem Echad. Then it follows with V'ahavta et Hashem Elokecha. First you've got to love Hashem, because He loves you and He wants you to reciprocate. And therefore, you should love Him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your means. Then it goes on, it says, these three things are applied more directly. First, command me today, from which sages say, Hashem is saying that today, at that time, commands were already given to the previous generation. It says now to the people of Israel, going into Israel, into the land of Israel. And this carries on until our own day. Also, we've got to reciprocate the love of Hashem. And then it says, Vishnotam Levanecha, Vitipatabon. How will this continue to influence mankind? Only if you, whatever age you are, you're living, you carry on these traditions to your children, grandchildren, your family. But it means it's a duty that anyone who's not from your family, whatever, people who have no parents who've taught them this, then it's your duty to extend it to all your talmidim, all those who you can teach. A teacher is like a son. Parents should teach their children. It's just as important as it is to give them physical health and keep them alive, help them to grow. You have to help them to grow also as towards sin, towards virtues and not vices. So this is the duty of every Jew, of the whole nation, part of the nation. And then it says that so to do that, you also express it in all your means, all the practical things where you can express it. That is, with symbols. Now, it also explains to us, I'll ask you a question. If tefillin is so important, why can't we don't allow women to wear tefillin? At least, you know, they don't have the bits of a tefillin. Why not? They're also creatures of Hashem. We've got to educate our daughters also. So what's the answer? Yes?
Tefillin are worn during the day, so they're limited by time. Yeah. And women are excused from mitzvahs that are limited by time.
Yeah. Very good answer. It goes even deeper. We say, husband and wife, called the English concept taken from the Bible, that our wives are our better halves. My wife is a better half than I am. Men who were given an active personality, that's masculine personality, and the concept of personality types goes all through the Hebrew language, Ish v'Isha. In fact, the sages say language was given by Hashem through the words of the Torah. The example is given is Ish v'Isha, it's the same source, they both have fire, they both have enthusiasm in life. The fire can be for enthusiasm, for virtues and for loving kindness, or it could be also, unfortunately, for the reverse. When the ego begins to work and person recognizes ill personality, wants then to go and express himself as having more power than others, more wealth than others, more benefits than others, and he has to discipline it. So therefore a person's got to learn all the mitzvahs are saved, fulfill them, because they act as a discipline. All the mitzvahs practically were given to make human beings more pure. And who needs an active method of purification? Men much more than women. Women naturally are born in such a way that, and they also have children in childbirth in such a way that they have the instinct to nurture others, to nurture their children, to help them. And they certainly are closer in many ways, emotionally, to mothers and to fathers, but it goes back to childhood. And therefore, they will already learn the midat hachesed of Hashem, which is the gift of Hashem, the name Hashem, which is the midat hachesed. The women are born to do chesed. But men, when the ego comes in your life, you think, most important for me is myself. And therefore they worship the unholy trinity of me, I, and myself, that comes first. And therefore, men have to learn that they should love their wives like themselves, but they've got to give them more honor than they give themselves, because that's what women need, very much so. So this explains a bit many things. So I'm going straight to the question, which I'm sure many of you may have asked. In fact, somebody, I'm sorry, is not here today, but he asked me that question himself. Why did I call it, what is tefillin? But tefillin, we call, what are tefillin? You've seen the other books I've given to you, what are the tefillin? That's the question, what are they? But no. Where does it come from? Where altogether? What's the meaning? Is the word tefillin a Hebrew word? What is it, a Hebrew word? Well, can you tell me, which is the first translation of Hebrew into another language?
Aramaic.
Aramaic, yeah? So what does it say? That's why if you do Ashnai Mikro Ve'echot Targum, that Targum, or even mitzvah to say it, because that introduces you to the language of the Gemara. The Talmud Bavli is mainly written in Aramaic, because Aramaic was an international language in those times in many, many countries, which we know from the Chumash itself. So the answer is the Talmud. Talmud says, the Pasuk, Kshatom ois al dodecho, Retoitifois ben enecho, so, Kshatom, it says in the sin, you should tie them as a sign on your hat and your hand, or sun. The Talmud says tefillin. The first is a translation of the word ot, the sign. So we see from this Targum that is in the singular, because it wants to express specifically that it's a sign. So the simple explanation is that's also the meaning of the tefillin. The meaning of the tefillin is that you should recognize that it's also a screen by everybody. Shema, if you look at Shema in the Chumash, then you'll see what you see by the letters of the Pasuk Shema. The letters. Is there something unusual?
The crowns?
No, the letters of the Pasuk Shema Yisrael. Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. What's unusual?
Yeah. Some of the letters, like the Ayin and Shema, are much larger than the rest of the letters.
The Ayin is large, and the Dalet is large. But what's Ayin Dalet mean? Why are those two large? Those two letters, Ayin and Dalet. What is Ayin and Dalet in Hebrew?
Aid.
Because who is a witness to the fact that God exists? Which is the greatest proof for God's existence? It's well known, a king once, as one of the emperors asked the Jew, what is the proof that God exists? So what did he say to him? What's the proof?
It's the Shemayim Yesa'aretz.
What is the proof of God's, biggest proof of God's existence? One big proof is that God created the world. He's the creator. And you can prove that there's no human being who created this world. So who could have created it? You can say all sorts of forces, but who made the forces? So ultimately you come to the first cause. And therefore the general philosophical approach to the existence of God is to study nature. And all the greatest scientists in the world until today, they admit that you can't explain the different forces that are like in science, whatever you call them, whatever name you give them, you come back to the miracles of creation, which cannot be by any being that exists in the world except God. That's God. God is the creator. He's more than all the created beings. Therefore, he's the creator. That's the usual proof. But what is the proof given at the beginning of the Ten Commandments? It doesn't say it. Why doesn't it say at the beginning of the Ten Commandments, I am the Lord your God who created you? After all, the Ten Commandments are addressed to all the nations. The first version is entirely to the nations of the world, as well as Jews. So as explained by the sages. So therefore, why? Well, how does it begin? Ten Commandments. I am Hashem your God. Some say that it's Hashem Elokecha because Elokecha means I am the only one who could have created you. But what's the reason given? Asher I took you out from Egypt. In other words, I can prove it from history, even against Paro, even against the biggest Chachamim that existed in the world of that time, the Persians, the Babylonians, all their sages and clever people, they did not experience what you experienced. And therefore, I took you out from Egypt. And the existence of the Jews is the biggest proof. The Jews still exist today. Where there have been so many efforts to destroy the Jewish people entirely, what do we find? Even when there came the biggest Rosh in the world ever, which is Hitler, Yimach Shemo, let me such a Rosh, this wicked person. Yeah? He said, he said before he committed suicide, what did he say? I give a commandment that everything I said in my life, I say to all people, the whole world, what him like is, if there's one Jew left in the world, then we haven't fulfilled our task. And unfortunately, these concepts are going around the whole world today. Antisemitism is growing again. We see it's happening all the time as well. But of course today, they know where Israel still exists. Hashem, the Jews managed to get over everything. We'll even get over all the problems of the civil war, the world war that we have today can also come from the Jews. Yeah? We'll have to do it. It's our task. There's certain ways how we can do it. But because the word Israel means that God will rule. It's a struggle. Struggle starts from Yaakov Avinu, with the power of Esau. And that struggle goes on all through history. They're struggling all the time. Whenever they see Jews succeed, or Jews are just poor, too poor, they go and blame the Jews for everything. Too rich or too poor, whatever it is. It's a halacha that Yaakov, that Esau son Eliyahu, is halacha. Now, that's a basic principle if you want to understand what's going on in human history until today. So this is the significance also of the Eidot we have to give. So this Eidot is also shown what Eidot. Eidot means a physical, more physical concept. It is physical. We on our, when we put on the tefillin, also we put them on in this manner. Like we put them on, recognizing we're part of the Jewish nation. And to understand this more deeply, we've got to refer to the difference between the head tefillin and the arm tefillin. Because at Sinai, what was the great concept brought by Sinai? That all the people of Israel answered in a few times. We answered when Hashem gave us the Torah. Now, Sevenishma, we will do, follow all your commandments, and then we'll try to understand them. Not like it says, the British poet said, that ours is not to reason why, ours is only to do and die. That applies to the armies that wanted to conquer the world. What we say, ours is Nase Venishma. We must do Nase Venishma and try to understand it, understand what's behind it. In other words, the mitzvot are there to fulfill them, even if we can't so much absorb their deeper meaning. But we know, Seichel Tov L'chol Oseyam, once you go do them, you can experiment. Go and experiment what it's like to be a Jew, and then yourself, Talmud Kitav Hashem, then having tasted and experimented, you'll see how good it is. You'll see it teaches you virtue. It teaches you the joy that comes with virtue, and the corruption and sadness and misery comes through the opposite way. But you've got to choose between the two, right? That's part of the teaching. And there's a deeper concept behind all this. Kshatem lo'ot al yadecha, olo totafot bein enecha. What does totafot mean? What totafot? Ornament. It's a traditional ornament. It's something that's beautiful, but it goes much deeper. To understand it, we must take another verse in the book of Devarim, chapter 20, verse 10, where it says, "Ra'u chalamei ha'aretz, she'em Hashem nikra alecha v'yarum mimeka," that all the nations of the world will see that the name of Hashem is called upon you. Because the tefillin in the head, which can be seen, unlike the ones in the hand, at the arm, which we cover over, but they can be seen by everybody. All the nations will receive that the name of Hashem is called on you. Now they know, the nations of the world know that the Jews contain the secret of life. They contain it because of the head. How would they contain it? Because they have a bigger head than others. They won more Nobel Prize than anybody else. And and even to that extent that today, you know, the Koreans and also the Chinese, both of them have tried to teach the Talmud. Why? Because they've made an analysis of who the cleverest people were, who the biggest scientists, two of the ones who seem to get the top place in science and the arts and other areas, music. So they say, we must try and learn how to do it. So even what Hebrew teaches, they show them, yep, some of them, how to learn, how to develop your mind. And this is the oral tradition, the fact that Jews carry on their heritage from one generation to the next. It leads people, like Einstein, for example, didn't have a proper background at the same time, but he says, he said that, you know, his concept is based on the principle of harmony, the harmony of the world, and it's you see, Jewish mind, Freud also, and Marx, these big personalities who changed many concepts of mankind. In recent times, they were Jews, although they, and of course, through this, on the deeper level, they all made a great contribution to the progress of the human being. But unfortunately, a lot of it was used to produce destructive weapons. That's the problem today. So this Pasuk, I'll tell you a few stories about it first. The Vilna Gaon was known.
Put it on hold, okay?
Put it on hold. Put it on hold. Tortafot is part. Pat and tab. Tab and pat. One is a Kalti language, Crete, language of Crete, and the other is the language of Africa. Two one syllable word of the combination of Tortafot. The simple meaning is it's an ornament, but to understand this, it goes back to two letter roots. Because in the tefillin of the head, what's the difference in tefillin of the head and tefillin of the arm? What's the difference inside? You've got pictures of it there in the behavior. Look at the picture of the tefillin. In
the yad has the leaflet. Yad is one whole section.
Yeah, and the head is four.
Four. Head is broken up into four.
Yeah. Yes. So why is that? Because it says for something Israel and Vavchem and Nafshechem. The Vavchem is the heart and the head is Nafshecha, is the soul, is the mind. So the mind, how does the mind work? The mind of man. If you want to understand something, it works through analysis. Distinguish between one letter and another. Distinguish between one sound and another sound. And that is, in fact, the beginning of all languages. So if you study languages, and today there's also a two-volume book on psycholinguistics, or the psychology of languages, and the origin of language of Ayers Diamond. It speaks about the origin structure of all languages, and it goes back to Hebrew. Because Hebrew is you go into ancient Hebrew, in ancient times, that's developed very much by the book of Roots, the Roots of Language by Moses, which I put out here as well. That this is explained to us all the languages. So this Millicent also gave many videos in the yeshiva, and he's shown, like others also, like the non-Jewish heirs diamond, how all languages, they come, go back to what Chazal say, it's written in the Sefer Yetzirah, it's also brought in this article, the book of creation. In other words, that Avraham Avinu, to him was revealed the book of creation, according to tradition, was revealed by Hashem to him to show the significance of languages, and that's the language mentioned at the time that they built on the Tower of Babel. So at the beginning, all mankind were one language. Now they all spoke in sounds, as they show also from ancient sources. The sounds are, the African sounds, also ancient African language, some which have been preserved, that they continue in this way. So that's as far as the linguistic aspect is concerned. But now, I'll explain something further. That, as I say, it's Nasa Manishma. It teaches us a principle that to understand life, you'll best understand it by learning the Torah, the language of the Torah, and more deeply also, the oral traditions which carry on the wisdom of the Torah. So, well known, the Vilna Gaon was a big genius, most unusual. He went around also looking for manuscripts when he was young, went around a place where there were Hebrew ancient manuscripts to study them, to get right readings in the Talmud and other sources. And when he was going on a journey with his tefillin, together with his carriage driver, who was also a religious Jew, was also with tefillin. So in the middle, he was attacked by robbers, and the robbers gagged them up. What happened was, he was hidden inside the carriage, didn't go out, but the carriage driver was driving the horses. So they both had tefillin on. So when the carriage driver saw the face of the Gaon of Vilna, his face was so powerful that they ran away. They'd never seen a person whose look even impressed other people so much, as well known in many, many situations. The Vilna Gaons, to even see the Vilna Gaon, who was so saintly and so high, like one of the early authorities, that he was, that's why it says that if all the nation will see you, they'll fear you, they'll be afraid of you when they see the tefillin shalrosh of the Vilna Gaon. Then they come afraid, they come shocked, they left. So the driver said, but I just had my tefillin checked, and that I haven't checked the highest level. He says, Chazal say, these are the tefillin in the head, sheburosh. If you've got the tefillin in your head, it's not good enough, you have to put them on. People put on tefillin automatically, and then afterwards they rattle away the prayers so fast, they can't even think what they're saying. It doesn't help. It's a very important principle. Now, usually also, tefillin are called phylacteries in the Greek language, which means something that accompanies your prayer. So, true that with the tefillin, you should say the Shema and say the tefillah with the tefillin on your head. But tefillin sheberosh, they've got to be in your head as well, inside your head. So there's a famous episode which is mentioned by the chief rabbi, former chief rabbi of Israel, Rabbi Lau, Rabbi Yisroel Meir Lau. He was going on a plane, and he put on his tefillin. And there was an Israeli girl there, and she asked him, "What is this?" She never seen it. She came from a shoemaker's boots where they don't allow tefillin. They never saw them. She'd never seen them before. So he said, "What am I putting on?" "I'm putting on my saying my prayers." So they are putting on, I'll call it, it's an earphone, an iPhone to the Almighty, to God. It links me with Him. Otherwise, that's true, that's what it is. See, people today, the youngsters especially, are being addicted to the iPhone, the earphone. They can see everything. And sometimes some people carry it in their pockets. Just pick it up. Some of them, in fact, have it around their neck, or have it attached to their ear. They should hear it all the time. And as a result, if they've got that in their mind, of course, then they forget all about anything else of importance in the world. They become addicted. And this is something which the Vilna one himself says, when all the nations of the world will see the name of Hashem is called upon you, v'yaru mimecha, from you they will learn Yirat Shamayim. From you the nations of the world will learn to fear Hashem. Now we also, also know that the tefillin are a great help. I mean, at the time of the Six-Day War, and also in more recent times, it's often happened that when the often before battle, they're given to fill in. There have been cases where all those that were wearing to fill in, they had miracles, miracle saved, especially after the Six-Day War, also. So this people, a whole tank crew that put on filling beforehand. So although the tank was caught by a missile, it exploded, but they all managed to get out of the tank in time. They were saved. In many instances of that nature, we see the force of the tefillin. We also see it was taken a bit further in the time of the Holocaust. Of course, it was very, very difficult. People didn't have tefillin, but there were some who hid them through thick and thin. There was also somebody who was a great, afterwards became a great power in the Kiddush world, Bart Stern. You've got his biography here because he was a great helper in the Baal Teshuva movement, and he looked after the big Rebbe who tried to help him to hide the tefillin all the way through. Of course, people queued up at certain times to just able to use the tefillin for 1 minute, put them on, and kept them going. There's a famous story of a chaplain who came, an American chaplain, who came to the DP camps to help them to become from zombies, become human beings. So a person came up to him and said, when they asked to make a minyan, he wouldn't join the minyan, though he was a traditional Jew by birth, and knew all about it. But he said he can't stand it that people, they they have to fill in, and people have to queue up. And sometimes the people said, they can only give their tefillin for that purpose if they have to give them their little bit of crusty old bread that they give them for daily ration. So he said, couldn't stand it, how they could be such Jews who would go and give their tefillin for a bit of bread. So therefore, he left Yiddishkeit altogether because of that. So he said to him, well, what about Mesirut Nefesh of these people that go through all their life to queue up, and it's very dangerous to put on the tefillin for a minute. You should look at the good side, not the bad side. And that's the best answer when you read many stories how people went to say Shema Yisrael, because that was already when they were outside the gas chamber, but to preserve themselves from being zombies, they should. It is great thing. So here I want to mention a story which I heard myself from Rav Galinsky. Rav Galinsky was a very famous darshan, very short. He used to have his son on the table, and the story is like this. He describes it himself. He was taken to Siberia with a lot of other Jews as well, and the communists. They sent them to the coldest part of Siberia. So it was 40 degrees below ordinary temperature, and it was impossible to survive. But he had a person who was a bit of a general in the army under the Tsar. When the communists took over, because they also sent him to Siberia. And he was in the same camp as he was. And that person used to get up in the day and put on, he'd taken his uniform from the army and hidden it, looked after it. And early in the morning, when it was dark, long before dawn, so he would get up and put on all his medals and his full uniform, and make out his general, and put on act. And it was very surprising. He asked him, "What are you doing? Why do you do all this?" So he said, "Well, if I don't put on those garments, I'm going to lose my own identity. I've got to know who I am. And therefore, I make out I'm still following the Tsar, the Emperor. I'm not going to put on that uniform, that army uniform, every day to keep up my ability not to become a zombie." So he said to this guy, Rav Galinsky, said to him, "Well, you know, I do the same thing. I just also get up in the morning and put on the tefillin. And you're a Jew, so the tefillin do the same thing. When you put on the tefillin, it makes you feel, I've got to be a witness for Hashem in the world, even the world of these wicked communists who want to destroy every mark of Judaism amongst the Jews." So that's how he saved his own life. And then, so he helped this general. In the end, he also followed him. So I also got a king. My tefillin is a sign that I'm a servant of the king of the world. So, let's go from this then just to show you in this beginning why I say what is the tefillin? I'll explain it. That's your second question. I shall explain to you the sheen on the tefillin. So, This is well, what does Sheen represent in Hebrew? The sheet. Sheen by itself, what is it? What grammatically, what do you call it?
Sadai.
It's a pronoun.
Okay.
In other words, it's a word expresses relationship. It's from Moshe.
Moshe.
Moshe. Moshe. What is the significance in Ivrit for she? She.
She.
She. She is used regularly. It's a special type of grammatical word which expresses relationships. Yes? She. Shechayono. What's the root of Shechayono?
That.
Shechayono. It's Chiyono. Chiyono means Hashem keeps us alive. What's the She? What's the She? The She is short for Asher.
Asher. The
Kitush of Asher. Huh? Asher means Asher. Asher means a relationship. It means a step. Asher means a step. So to express a relationship, it's called a pronoun in Hebrew, in English grammar. Pronoun. So Sheen, each letter in Hebrew has a specific phonetic meaning, phonetical about etymology, also the way it's formed in the mouth, but it also got a grammatical meaning. Yeah? It means to understand what it expresses in meaning. Because language has to do with giving meaning to the words you say, not just sounds that you make. We know that there's an R, there's certain R's like a yawn, you know, different physical things. But in language, it expresses relationships as a pronoun. So Asher is a relationship. So the only way we know Hashem also, we speak about Hashem, is because we've got the relationship with Hashem. It's also, otherwise Hashem is above causes and effects, but causes and effects enter into our life. That's the deeper meaning of Hashem. So that's in relation with Osher. Osher means with an eye it means wealth, and with an eye it expresses a relationship. So the filling is how to relate to Hashem. We can only relate to Him indirectly, only through His attributes. The Rambam and the Guide for the Perplexed, can we speak about God? God is above speech. He's above all aspects of the human being. So how can we speak about Him? He's transcendent, with the transcendence of God. But God is also immanent. God is also inside the world. He's inside the world of man, inside our soul. The soul of the human being can relate to Hashem. That's the essence of prayer, is to get the soul, which is this Baruch Nafshi is Hashem. Let my soul praise Hashem. The sages explain that my soul is similar to the power of Hashem. So this is the significance that the filling, which contain the analysis of the world, so the hand to fill express the heart. The heart is a feeling which we have for Hashem, and therefore it's a bayit. It's called even a bayit. The bayit is really the home. In the home, in the family, a family is established through feeling, through a strong feeling with husband and wife and parents and children. That creates unity of family. But that's the heart. The mind analyzes. So the mind is expressed through the tefillin. Now, it's a sheen, but in head tefillin, it's also expressed the power of analysis. It's also part part of understanding Torah, not just to feel. Tehillim, for example, Tehillim is fascinating. It also explains us why it's called Tefillin, not Tefillois. And Rav Hirsch explains, the book of Tehillim says, David HaMelech composed the Tehillim. Why did he say Tehillois? Most of Tehillim is praises of Hashem. And the praise is called Tehillah. It's called the praise. Why is it not feminine? Because the feminine aspect is the heart, what you can feel. But to analyze it, that's the feeling. More concrete aspect. And that happens through the training we get from Torah Shebaal Peh. Torah Shebaal Peh goes to analyze the deeper meaning. That's also a connection with the mind of Hashem. The tefillah connected with the mind of Hashem. So that explains a bit the two sheaves, according to Rav Hirsch. And you'll find more of this in the symbolism we've got it also for the whole volume. You'll find this also in the writings of Moseson concerning language, but you'll find it also in the symbolism of the mitzvahs as brought by Rav Hirsch in his sect we've got of this on Jewish symbolism. So now let's come to more important things. Yeah, just a minute, I've only got a few minutes left, so you must excuse me. I must mention a few other things that I want to mention something which is important. Today we're faced with the movement of reform. So here as well, I want to say that the reform movement as such started basically when Jews in Europe, especially in Germany and France, started assimilating to the ways of the non-Jews in thought. Of course, it occurred also in the time of Hellenism. Just like there, the Maccabeans had to fight against Hellenism openly and even more so intellectually. So in our time also, we have to do it. We have to recognize that the best way to do it, the most important way, is to do it by following the guides of the Torah. First of all, we should know that Israel, we have to follow the Nachamu, Nachamu Ami. It's also Pashas Nachamu. Where we speak about Damu Alev Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is a city of peace. Yer Shalom. And in fact, go further. It comes from the combination of Yira and combination of Shalem. Yira is the fear of Hashem, or awness, really, the awe in front of Hashem. And Shalem is to become peaceful and as far as saintly, perfect as far as possible in a relationship between man and man. If we would all really reform ourselves, that we should make a Kiddush Hashem, make a sanctification of Hashem with our behavior, attitude to others, only deal with, especially in the city of peace, in this place, we deal with it in a peaceful manner. That does not mean that we're not allowed to defend ourselves. Basic principle of the Torah is, the two basic principles are, the one is, Lo tiyach rabim lahatot. You shouldn't go after the majority to do lera'ot, to do evil things, but only good things. You should go after the majority. Then it says, then you have to follow the majority. Achrabim lahatot, the good things. But you should do it in a way of Yirat Shamayim and peace. And that is the most important thing for us to do, to reform ourselves and thereby make a sanctification in the name of Hashem. Also know from the Gedolei Yisrael, who raised me, and was close with many of them, Rabbi Yashiv and others, and also Moletli of Steinemann, they all followed paths of peace, individual, and they meant also for the nations of the world. I mean, it's surprising how, for example, there's someone who's very active in Kirov, a former student of the yeshiva. So he also went into Africa, South Africa, and there he has addressed through his books and through his talks thousands and thousands of the black people to recognize the existence of God and to try to follow the way of God, to remove racialism from our... We are anti-racialist. Jews are anti-racialist. We shouldn't think that because a person has some Jewish blood in him from some source that makes him a Ger Tzedek. Ger Tzedek, that's what's called Ger Tzedek. You only become a Ger, in truth, if you're following Tzidkot, you're following righteousness. Now you're going to follow violence in any way. It's a contradiction in terms to be Israel, which means to struggle, but it means to struggle for God, to struggle for goodness, to struggle for peace. So that's got to be the reform which all of us have to go through, reforming ourselves in the right direction, try to pervade mankind, be Jew or Gentile. Hillel's statements, Hele oevet abriot, love all human beings, and Mokova la Torah, bring them near to the Torah through the power of love, through the power of peace, and that we hope will happen in our day also. So let us hope that we'll all see the fulfillment. V'hu chol amei aretz, that's what it says later in this book of the Varim. All the nations of the world will see, as it's described also in the prophets ultimately, that the name of Hashem is called the name of Hashem. What's the name of Hashem? The name of the power of Chesed, loving kindness. Hashem is the biggest, because he does not accept anything good from others, really, because he creates it all. It's all from him, everything. But he expresses to us the need that we should follow and pursue peace and love. As it says, the Tisha B'Av, which we're having a couple of days, Tisha B'Av will be transformed into Chag HaGaula. That will be the festival of redemption. Perhaps even this year we'll experience it, if not this year, as soon as possible. It should become the Chag HaGaula, the Chol HaOlam Kulo, for the whole world, as is described in the prophets of the Jewish people. Amen.
Thank you.